Would you please help me welcome all of our Celebration Church campuses and locations right now? Let's put our hands together. Wherever you are attending here in the Jacksonville area or around the world, we are so glad that you're with us on this back-to-school weekend. And we want to give a special shout-out to our St. John's campus right there in the Julington Creek area. You guys going to two services today. Come on, exploding down there. And then we also wanted to shout out to our Camden County, Georgia location. I know there's some Georgia Bulldogs fans in there excited about a Tebow-less Florida this upcoming football season, ready to be a dark horse. You know, I'm a LSU fan. I can honestly say I'm really glad that Tim Tebow's gone, because every time I was cheering against him, I felt like I was cheering against God. So it makes it a whole lot easier just to, you know, root against the Gators when LSU's playing for them. But it's going to be a lot of fun this football season. Hey, how many of you know that people are crazy? We got some crazy people, huh? And people do crazy things. So what I want to talk to you today, in fact, I've entitled this message, The Crazies. Everybody say, The Crazies. How many of you are thinking about a few people right now in your mind? Crazy people. We all do crazy things. We've all done crazy things. Let's take a look at a few of the crazy things that people do. Oh, man, we all do crazy stuff, huh? Crazy stuff. Do I have any skydivers? Any skydivers in the house? A few of you here? I'm telling you, you guys are crazy. I'm not jumping out of an airplane just for the fun of it. In fact, our media director, Ron Dubois, he's a big skydiver. He tried to talk me into it. He's like, oh, man, it's so safe. It's not dangerous. And, you know, first of all, whenever the first question they ask you when you're doing a life insurance policy is, do you skydive? Right there, that ought to be a sign. That might be something you want to avoid. But Ron Dubois is a big skydiver, and he was trying to convince me that it's safe and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, look, dude, I'm not doing it. He said, look, I'm telling you, it's totally safe. But, you know, however, a couple of months ago, my diving instructor did die. So, we'll just leave it at that. Hate to put a damper on the end of that video, but people do crazy things, am I right? And people, just in general, we can all get the crazies from time to time. And if you were like me, especially before you knew God, or me in my life, man, I did some crazy things in kind of a negative way before I knew God. And you know, here in the Bible, in fact, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at a different type of crazies, but crazy nonetheless. And this is kind of what I was going through before I really put Jesus first in my life. Here in Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read in verse 21, just a couple things about the book of Romans. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the believers in Rome. Romans is the most theological book of the Bible. It has some just awesome truths in there about how we're saved by grace and justification by faith and the blood of Jesus. But in the first few chapters, what the Apostle Paul is setting up, he's setting up what's called basically the depravity of man. And that's kind of a big theological term. But what it basically is saying is, look, we've all sinned. Am I right? We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all had the crazies at one time or another in our lives. And it points to the truth that, you know, that's why Jesus came, that he loves us and he wants to save us. And he's got great things for our life. But here in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is kind of walking us through here what happens in people's lives and how they kind of get to a point of really being far from God. And I'll pick it up here in verse 21, and it says, although they knew God, and he had set up this argument about, you know, the existence of God. You can see God in the creation and all these different things. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So he walks us through a process here, and I want to take you through this process. And if you have your notes there, if you have that fill in the blank, you can follow me along. But let me just bring out a few words in these couple of verses. First of all, the Bible says that they did not glorify him as God. Everybody say glorify. Another way we can say glorify, or even as it's defined, is glorify is to confer honor upon. And we've been talking about honor. Honor means to ascribe high value or high estimation, to give respect to. I like this. It is a manifestation of respect or reverence. Okay, so whatever you honor, there should, if you're honoring something in your heart, there should be an outward manifestation of that inward reality. And so here's what happens to any of us, or to all of us, when we fail to honor God, when we fail to glorify God. Look at the process here. We don't honor God, therefore we're not thankful. Let me walk you through this in your notes here. This is in your fill in the blanks. A lack of honor leads to unthankfulness, which leads to wrong thinking. It says they were unthankful, so then they became futile in their thoughts, which leads to an unbelieving heart, and their hearts were darkened, which leads to deception. It goes on to say, professing to be wise, they became fools, or they got a bad case of the crazies. In other words, they were living their lives thinking everything was okay. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. So these people were living their lives not honoring God, thinking everything was going to be okay and everything was going to turn out okay. But the problem is that because they weren't honoring God, their lives became empty. Their lives became frustrated. And their lives had no purpose. And let me give you this fill in the blank here next. The root cause of an empty, frustrated life is a lack of honor towards God. Listen, I really feel like I have a word this weekend, and I want to leave you with this. I know life is busy, life is complicated, life is crazy. How many of you can say amen to that? We have so many things going on. There's so much busyness. If I can boil things down, if there's one thing that is crucial for you to do, that is crucial for you to take and make part of your everyday life, it is this. I am going to honor God. Listen, it is all about honor. You being the person that God's called you to be, you being successful, you enjoying your life, your family, your kids, everything about you, it all comes back to this issue of honor. It is all about honor. Let's say that together. Say it's all about honor. See, if you look at this progression here, here's what the Bible says. If there's a lack of honor towards God, you're naturally going to be unthankful. If you think about your life and, you know, when people are ungrateful, when people are unthankful, the root of that is a lack of honor. Dishonor always precedes unthankfulness. And when we're unthankful, just like this scripture says, all of a sudden our thoughts start to go on what's wrong with our lives, on what's wrong with the world, on what's wrong with the people around us, instead of our minds being grateful and our minds being focused on what's right about God and what's right about Jesus and what's right about your life and the good things that God has for you. Are you following me? So dishonor leads to unthankfulness that leads to wrong thinking, that leads to wrong believing. Now it talks about our hearts becoming dark, and now that heart becomes unbelieving. It becomes cold. It becomes callous. It becomes self-focused, and then, of course, that leads to what the Bible calls crazies, thinking everything's okay. But actually, it's not. How many of you know God has great things for your life? How many of you know that God has an awesome plan for your life? So what I want to tell you this morning is, look, don't be crazy, but be happy. And I'm going to show you how to get happy in God, but it all starts with honor. Everybody say, it all starts with honor. It all starts with honor. The root cause of an empty, frustrated life is a lack of honor towards God. Now watch, this goes, maybe you're an unbeliever, maybe you're far from God today, maybe this is your first time from church, that applies to you. That's how I was, you know, before I truly began to honor God and put Jesus first. That's how I was. I was out just crazy doing all these things, thinking everything was okay. But it wasn't. But it also applies to the believer. What happens to believers is, you know, we get in this pattern, and all of a sudden we begin to take for granted the blessings of God. Come on, and we forget how far God has brought us. Am I right? And we forget to, you know, we forget to focus on what's right about God and thanking Jesus for our salvation every day and thanking Jesus for his sacrifice every day and honoring God and putting him first. And all of a sudden, we start to drift. But the first thing we do is we make a decision and we don't honor God. And then that negative progression, then we're unthankful. Then our minds tend to go where, and then we end up doing things we never thought we'd do or we don't want to do. Am I telling the truth or not? But it all starts with honor. The root cause of an empty, frustrated life is a lack of honor, whether you're a believer, whether you're not a believer. Think about this. Adam and Eve, it all started in Genesis. We focus on the sin, you know, and them eating the fruit and all that stuff. But the real principle there that they violated, they dishonored God. God said, look, this is a tree you can eat of everything else. It's this one tree. I want you to honor me in this one way. Don't eat of this tree. Just show me some honor. You can go all throughout the Bible, men of God that love God and were doing great, but then somewhere they made a decision and they fell into this lack of honor. You can think of King David and King Saul. Saul started out as a great king, but then he made the decision. He didn't honor God with the spoils of war, and then it was all downhill from there. It's all about honor. That's why the Ten Commandments. You know, the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments, it's focused on honoring God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make a graven image. The first thing is, it's all, we focus on honor towards God. And then the next six are about honoring our fellow man. That's why Jesus said, you can sum up the law and the prophets and all that in this, what? Love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are things of honor. Ephesians 5, the marriage. You know what the godly marriage is all about? It's all about honor. It's all about, because you honor God now and you understand that every family is a type of church and you want to honor God in your marriage. So it's all about, here's how the husband honors the wife and here's how the wife honors the husband. Everybody say, it's all about honor. It's all about honor. So if that is true, then the opposite is also true. The foundation of a fulfilled, blessed life is honor towards God. Honor puts first things first. It gets your priorities established. It establishes order. I want you to think about one of those commandments. We're talking about back to school with students and so forth. It talks about that kids should what? Honor their father and mother. And it goes on to say that it may go well with them in the earth. Notice it doesn't say kids, honor your father. Notice it doesn't say this. Kids, be thankful for your father and mother. It says what? Honor your father and mother, because God knows if there's honor, there will be thankfulness. They didn't honor, there was unthankfulness. It's not a question of thankfulness. It's a question of honor. If you honor God, you'll be thankful to God. If you honor your spouse, you'll be thankful for her or for your marriage. It's a question of honor. Everybody say, it's all about honor. So the foundation of a filled, blessed life is honoring God. To the degree that you honor God is the degree that you will experience his blessings. The word blessed there, it means, oh, how happy. What, children? Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you in the earth. There's a spiritual principle there. As we honor our heavenly Father, it will go well with us in the earth. See, God already loves you. You already, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, God loves you. You've got the power and favor of God in your life. But if you really want to experience that and not waste it and not squander it, then you need to honor God. It's the foundation of a blessed life. You know, this summer, we were on family vacation, and we went up to this big lake up kind of in Arkansas and Missouri, one of those big old mountain lakes. It was a blast. Our whole family was up there. We were up there with some other families. And one of the things that we did a lot of, we did a lot of jet skiing. I have some jet skiers in the audience today. Yes, all of our camps is jet skiers. Well, there was a guy that was with us, and he had 4 jet skis. And so we'd take these pontoon boats out, and he'd let everybody ride his jet skis, and it was awesome. So I was all fired up about it, but I'm not a big jet skier. Now, I've done it before, but I hadn't done it a lot. And so this one day we were going out, it was one of the first days we were there. He's like, "Stovall, man, I'm going to give you and Stovey, if you don't know me or whatever, Stovey's my son. He's Stovall, he's the little one, he's 10 years old, so we either call him Stoves or Stovey. I'm going to give y'all the turbo jet ski. It is a jet ski that goes 70 miles an hour. Come on, I felt a little bit of the crazies coming on me. 70 miles an hour. Wow, man, this was going to be awesome. It was the only turbo jet ski that we had. It had a big seat. It sat like 3 people. So, man, it was awesome. We went out that day, and Stovey learned to drive it too. But towards the end of the day, I was driving it, and Stoves was sitting in front of me, and I was sitting behind him, and I was driving it like that. And we were coming into the dock, and a few of the guys were ahead of me. Come on, men. Come on, men. Don't be a male, be a man. So my manhood kicked in. And these guys were in front of me, so I was like, "Hold on, Stoves. There's no way we're coming in last with the turbo jet ski." Man, and we are flying, man. It was awesome. And sure enough, zoom by the first guy, and zoom by the second guy. And I'm about to come to the, and you know what I'm saying? I'm going to give him a look when I come by him. So we are flying, man. We are flying. We're 70 miles an hour. Flying. I'm about to pass him up. And I look in front of me, and here come these huge waves. Man. So I turn it a little to the right to take them. A boat had been somewhere. I never saw the boat. I never saw the waves. So I turn it a little bit to the right to hit them head on. Whang! Come down. Now here's what I didn't know about jet skiing that you jet skiers will know. Whenever you take your hand off the throttle, you lose control. I see some of you are like, "Yes, yes." So if you're on a jet ski and you're going, if you decelerate on the throttle, you can't control it because it's jet propulsion. See how smart I am about jet skis now? So what happens is me and Stoves, wham, and we hit, and we're going so fast, I take my off the accelerator and I lose control. And we are headed right towards this rock. It's like a cliff there. These mountains, it's a mountain lake. It's total rock bank. Kind of a cliff that goes up like that. We are going to be toast. Now remember, I've had my open heart surgery. Okay? I'm taking it easy, just like the doctor told me to. I'm only kidding. I needed to be careful because they sliced my sternum open. It's still got the garbage bag ties in there holding everything together, but I can do all this stuff. So, but more importantly, Stoves. My son is sitting in the front. We're heading towards this rock bank. And I mean, lo and behold, it just came out. And I just saw right to my left, somehow about 5 feet out from the rock bank, is this dead tree. Just a dead piece of wood. Just sticking like 5 feet from the bank. And so I've lost control, but at the last minute, it catches enough where it veers it towards that tree. It's the only tree there. Wham! We run into that tree. I'm guessing about 35 miles an hour. But this old tree, it was like this dead old tree and the jet ski. I mean, I messed up the front of the jet ski. And it just kind of clocked it like that. I hit it so fast that above us, the tree snapped in half and fell into the water. And me, I mean, we were shaken up, but me and Stoves were totally fine. Come on, can you give God? Hey, how many, aren't you glad that God knows how to intervene when we get a case of the crazies? Come on, am I right? It was funny. I asked Stoves, I said, Stoves, what were you thinking? When we were, because he's on the front, you know what I'm saying? I said, Stoves, what were you thinking? And he said, well, the first thing I was thinking was, I'm too young to die. Then he said, and the second thing I was thinking and what I did was, I cried out to Jesus to save us. And then, Dad, now the third thing I'm thinking is, I'm never going to get on the jet ski with you again. You have to know my son. He's very intellectual. He gets it from me. But you know what we did? I was seriously, it was funny now, but we were shaken up. And I was just so grateful and thankful to God for this tree. And so what we did every day after that point, every day, whenever we would come in the dock from being on the boats, skiing, whatever we were doing, we would all come and like, we would stop at the tree. And we would like have a church service. And I would thank God for this tree. And it was like a memorial. It was like we would go there and be like, man, I can't believe this tree was here. And we'd show people like, look at the tree. Look how it's split in half. Can you believe it? We came right into that tree. It saved our lives. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, we would go there and we would give honor to God for the tree that saved our life. And can I tell you this? There was a tree 2,000 years ago that saved your life from something a lot more important than a jet ski accident. There was a tree 2,000 years ago called the cross. And because of Jesus' death on that cross, it saved your life from eternal separation from God. And the church, watch this. The church, this is where the church comes into play. You know what the church is? The church is the place where we gather together publicly once a week and we come here and we remember the cross. And we say, Lord, thank you so much for saving me. Jesus, thank you for who you are. God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to be thankful for my life. I'm going to think the right way. I'm going to become who you've called me to be. I'm going to believe you for miracles. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. You know, Jacob, in Genesis chapter 28, you don't need to go there. But Jacob, he's going to his uncle Laban's house. And he's at a place called Luz. Luz means separation from God. He goes to sleep. And the Bible says, listen to this. There was a rock there. And Jacob goes to sleep. And he uses this rock as a pillow. Really, I'm telling the truth. It's in there, Genesis chapter 20. That girl's like, what? I'm telling you, for real, girl. Oh my God. So anyway. How many of you know that brother has some good sleeping habits if he can go to sleep with a rock as a pillow? So he goes to sleep at this place called Luz, meaning separation from God. He goes to sleep and all of a sudden he has this vision. This is commonly known as Jacob's ladder. And he has this vision. And it's this vision of an open heaven over where he is. And the angels of God are ascending and descending on this ladder. And Jacob wakes up and he says, oh my gosh, I've never realized this, but how awesome is this place? This place is none other than Bethel. He renames the place Bethel, which means the house of God. In other words, no longer is there going to be a separation from heaven, but there's actually going to be a gateway to heaven. This is the house of God where we come to get connected with heaven. And he renames the place of that Bethel, which means house of God. And guess what he does with that rock pillow? The Bible says he takes that rock that he was using as a pillow and he turns it upright. And instead of using it for a pillow, he uses it as a pillar or as a foundation, as an altar. He makes an altar. The altar, altar means gathering place, or it's a gathering place with God. And he says, this altar, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gateway of heaven. And he says, God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to bring you my tithe. I'm going to meet with you and worship you and honor you at this pillar. He named it the house of God. It was a type and shadow of the church. Y'all, this church, the house of God, it is a pillar. It is the place where we gather, guess what? To give God honor. But too many people, they're still using church as a pillow instead of using it or understanding it to be a pillar. It's not that too many people, they're just coming, oh, it's convenient. Okay, I need a little comfort and, you know, going to church would be nice. Too many people are just adding God to their life. And they look at church as kind of a pillow, something to kind of conveniently do every now and then. I know I should be doing it. But it's not until you understand that church is a pillar. It is a place where you come to give God honor. It's then and only then and only then do you experience the open heaven, the blessings of God, where you say, how awesome is this place? I'm going to experience the blessings of God in my life. I didn't even know it. When we come to church, that's why faithfulness to the house of God, it's not about coming to church. You know what it's about? It's about honor. When we worship God, it's not about singing songs. It's about honor. When we give to God at the altar, at the pillar, when we give to God our finances, it's not about money. It's about honor. If there's one thing, if I could say, man, could we get it? Could the body of Christ get it? If people could get it, it's that everything starts with honor. Your life, who you're going to be, your family, your kids, what they're going to grow up to be like. Your career, everything. This is how God has created us. Like it or not, this is the deal. Am I trying to help you? Did y'all want a frou-frou sermon? What'd y'all want? A little puffy, little. We don't do that here, man. I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you things that can really change your life, that can really help you. This is how you become blessed. This is how you become that person that's blessed. A person that says, oh, how happy am I? You learn to honor God. Many of you have all kinds of decisions coming up. You have career decisions. You have business decisions. You have things that you're going to be facing. You have opportunities. If there's one thing I could say to remember, honor God. Come into the house of God this fall. Would you honor God? Would you make, hey, look, one day in seven on Sunday, listen, I'm establishing this principle in my life. I'm not wavering with it. I'm coming to honor God. I'm going to honor God. That's going to make me thankful. I'm going to think right. My heart's going to believe God. I'm going to experience the supernatural and His blessings in my life. It is about honor. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to come to His house once a week. When you come in to worship God, would you be a worshiper? Now, I know there's people in here. You haven't even received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's okay. You're going to do that before I'm done today. So just give them a hand right now. They're going to do it. Okay. I know this. I know this. I know everyone's at a different level. I know people are from different backgrounds and all that. But can I tell you this? We're all called to worship God because worship is not about singing. Worship is not about a style of music. Worship is about what? It's about honor. So when we come into God's house, I'm not saying you don't have to have a personality like mine. I'm not saying get all crazy, you know. I'm just saying in your own way, though, could we show God honor in our worship? And you know, the Bible says, remember one of those definitions of honor? It's an outward manifestation. It's an outward manifestation of an inward reality. So the Bible talks about, there's so many scriptures on honor and honor the Lord and honor the Lord at all times, and I will honor the Lord forever. Oh man, I forgot to talk about Psalms 86:11, but look that one up. So many things about honor. When we come into God's house and we worship God, the Bible talks about that we're to clap our hands. Come on, we can all do that. Let's clap our hands to God. I'll talk about clapping your hands. It's an outward manifestation of an inward reality that we appreciate God and we ascribe value to Him in our worship. Another thing is lifting your hands. The Bible says lift your hands in the sanctuary. Lifting your hands, it's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not for the only sold out people that are only sold out. They lift their hands. No, you know what? People, the Bible says what? Lift your hands in the sanctuary. You know what lifting your hands is about? It's about showing God honor. I'm surrendered to you. So I do this once a year just to help everybody. Because I know everybody can get crazy with the hand raising thing. So guess what? We're all going to do it together. You're going to see that you don't turn into an alien. You don't suddenly become weird or whatever when you lift your hands. So here's what we're going to do. You ready? We're going to lift our hands. But look, no, stop. We're going to all do it together. All of our locations. Come on. We're going to start out at half mast. Just right here. Come on. You can do it. Just get them up half mast. I saw some of you were doing like this. Oh, God. But look. Okay, now look around. Look. It's okay. Look at everybody. Everybody's doing it. Nobody's turned fanatical. Do you see what I'm saying? Look down. Your Bible, it's still the same size. Your Bible didn't turn into a 4x6 foot Bible. Okay. Now watch. Here we go. You ready? We're going to do it. Come on. Slowly. Slowly. Everybody. Look. Now look around. Now look around at everybody around you. Look. Look, here's what we're doing. Watch this. Here's what we're doing. Lord, we honor you. We surrender to you. Come on, give God a big hand clap, huh? So watch this. Let me close with this. Okay, this is in your notes. So let's look at the other way here. Honor, here's what happens when we honor. Honor leads to thankfulness. Thankfulness leads to right thinking. Right thinking leads to a believing heart. And a believing heart leads to walking in the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. This is when you really become a happy, fulfilled person on the inside, having peace and joy. This progression is the opposite of what we read about in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Come on, how many of you want joy in your life? How many of you want to be blessed? It all starts with what? Honor. See, so much in the body of Christ, we focus on thankfulness, that's important. We focus on right thinking, that's hugely important. We focus on having a believing heart, that's hugely important. It's all possible. Everything's possible to him who believes. All those things are hugely important, but can I tell you this? You know where it all starts? With honor. If you don't honor God, everything that I say from this word, if you don't honor the word when you read it, it all starts with honor. It all starts with putting God first. Here's what I want to ask you, and here I'll close with this. The last one is don't be crazy, be happy. How about that one? I'm talking about the bad crazies. I know many of you have the good crazies. That's okay. Keep being your good old crazy self. Listen to this. I want you to remember about this. Jesus, when he was on that cross, he was honoring you. You were the guest of honor at the cross. And now, in just a small way, we celebrate that by being faithful to the... I know we honor God in our lives and every day and all that and all the decisions, but can I tell you, it all starts with honor, and a big part of that is God's house where the altar is. It is the public place of honor. That's why church attendance is so important. That's why being faithful to the house of God is so important. It's about honor. We learn to honor God in our worship. It's about giving. Money, giving in the offering, it's not about money. It's about honor. Let me just ask you, I'll close with this. Just think about this. What if this fall? What if you really and truly chose to honor God? Not just come to church every now and then, not just read the Bible a little bit, not just give a little bit here, not just come when it's convenient. What if you said right now, this principle, I'm taking this life biblical principle and I'm committing this to God. I'm going to honor God with my life. What if you did that? I'm telling you, your life would never be the same. You'd never be the same. We talk about change. This is change. Really honor God. I'm going to be faithful to his house. I understand that worship's about honor. My decisions are about honor. I'm going to ascribe value to God in my giving, my finances, my family. It's all about honor. Your life would never be the same. You would be the most blessed person on the planet. And your testimony would be, how happy am I? Because God is truly first and honored in my life. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, and Lord, we thank you for your word. How many of you just say right now at all of our locations, Annex, here at Midtown, you just say, Stovall, I'm just making that decision today. I'm going to truly honor God. I want you to raise your hand right now, wherever you are. Hands are going up all over the place. Like, I'm going to honor God. I'm doing it. I'm going all the way. I'm going to truly honor God. And it starts right now. You can put those hands down. How many of you, and maybe this was some of you that raised your hands to that question, you'd say, Stovall, I'm like really far from God, and I need to take that first step of honor and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to experience forgiveness. I want to know God. I want eternal life. If you need to do that, if you need a fresh start with God, if you need to commit or recommit your life to Jesus, you know who you are. You're far from God. Or you've been away from God for a while and you're like, Stovall, I need to put Jesus Christ first as my Lord and my Savior right now. Would you just lift a hand wherever you are? I know there's going to be several of you. Yes, yes. Lots of hands are up. Hold them up high. This is not for me. This is for God. Hands are up everywhere. Keep them high. Keep them high. All of our locations, Annex, just raise those hands high. Thank you, God. You see these hands. Now, if you're raising your hand right now, just repeat this prayer. And church, just go ahead. Let's all help them along. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I follow you from this day forward. I honor you. And I thank you for salvation and for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give God a hand clap, huh? I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to our location pastors at this time. And everyone here at Midtown, here's what we're going to do right now in the Annex. We're going to go into one more song. And I'm going to ask that during this song, you just seal in your heart what we talked about today. I'm going to ask that please no one leave. I understand if you absolutely have to or whatever, that's okay. But this is only going to take 3 or 4 minutes, and it's a really important part of our service because I really believe, like we're talking about honoring God, that when you hear the Word of God, there's some things that you kind of need to settle in your heart through prayer and commitments that you need to make and things that you just kind of need to connect with God on. So we're going to do that at this time. And here's kind of how we do that. If you see these places that are lit up in the corners over here, that's our Pastor Connect. It's really the place where we have our Fresh Start with God packets. So if you're one of those people that just raised your hand for a Fresh Start with God to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior or recommit your life to Him, during this song, I'm going to ask you to please make your way over to the lit up areas. It'll just take you like a minute. This is free. We just want to put this into your hands. It's a Fresh Start with God kit. It has a New Believer's Bible and some good resources that'll help you in your relationship with God. And then for the rest of us, if you're one of those people and you're like, man, I've been back and forth, I hadn't really been honoring God or whatever, you raised your hand from that, I just want you to seal that in your heart. And one thing you might like to do is to come to the altar up here. This represents the meeting place with God. Maybe there's something going on in your life and just something you really need to get right with God or something that you really want to commit to God in your life. And there's just something about when you get up and you come to a place like this and consecrate those things to God. There's power in it. And the rest of us, during this final song, you can stay seated and pray. You can stand and worship. Let's just all make this just kind of a big altar to God where we worship Him, pray, and connect to Him. Father, we come to You right now. Lord, we understand it is all about honor. It is all about honor. It is the crucial principle, Lord. So, Father, today we make that decision to honor You above all things. And, Lord, we thank You that as we do that, we are going to be a most blessed and happy people. Father, I thank You for all the people that are making a fresh start with You today and picking up those kits. I thank You for all the people that are just committing to You and to truly honor You this fall.